In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Friday, June 24th, 2016 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. England's vote to leave the European Union was close, but it looks like it will pass at last count. The Asian stock markets tumbled, and the English pound hit the lowest level in 31 years. UK Independent Party leader Nigel Farage had this to say about the big step for England's independence from the EU.
Dare to dream that the dawn is breaking on an independent United Kingdom.
Christian evangelical leaders are still reticent to endorse Donald Trump after their meeting with him on Tuesday. Franklin Graham clarified yesterday that he has not yet endorsed Trump's presidential candidacy. Family Research Council President Tony Perkins says he feels more comfortable with Trump, but would like to see an evangelical-friendly running mate for the Republican candidate. David Benham also attended the meeting and said that no strategy to elect Trump will fix the land. The nation needs to repent. Over 1,200 men, women, and children have starved to death in Nigerian refugee camps over the last year, according to medical charity MSF. The refugees have fled Boko Haram-inspired Muslim terrorism in the north. Breitbart reports record numbers of refugees worldwide. Some 65 million have been uprooted, which constitutes about 1% of the world's population. Syria, Afghanistan, Iraq, and Somalia have suffered more than other nations in recent years. Leviticus 19:33-34 says, "And if a stranger lives with you in your land, you shall not vex him. You shall love him as yourself." Life News reports that Texas abortion mills are losing doctors, down from 48 to 28 abortion mills in the whole state. Abortionist Bernard Rosenfeld is quoted as saying he cannot find a replacement for himself and blames pro-life activists for scaring doctors away from the abortion practice. Another police officer was exonerated in the Freddie Gray arrest case in Baltimore, Maryland. Gray was fatally injured in the police van that conveyed him to the station. Caesar Goodson was the driver of the van, the second officer to be declared not guilty in the case that ignited race riots in Baltimore last year. The Air Force has released a statement in the case of Master Sergeant Oscar Rodriguez, who was forcibly removed from a flag-folding ceremony for mentioning God. The statement released to the media stated that, quote, "Air Force personnel may use a flag-folding ceremony script that is religious for retirement ceremonies," unquote. In a 4-3 vote, the United States Supreme Court upheld a lower court ruling allowing discrimination and preferential treatment based on skin color in college admissions. The three conservative justices dissented in the Texas case. The Supreme Court deadlocked, though, on a case involving President Obama's amnesty plan for illegal immigrants. A lower court ruling will stand, allowing for deportation, for now, until the 2016 election and a ninth justice is appointed. Recent Census Bureau data indicates that babies born to minority families have outnumbered white non-Hispanic babies since 2011. Sociologists say that whites will become a minority in America sometime after 2044, and the three most popular baby names in 2015 for girls were Sophia, Emma, and Olivia. For boys, Jackson, Aiden, and Liam. Did President Obama's visit to Vietnam worsen persecution against Christians in that country? International Christian Concern reported raids on churches and women and children tortured at the hands of police officials shortly after Obama's visit 2 weeks ago. The administration has lifted the arms embargo against Vietnam, while human rights abuses worsened there, according to ICC. Revelation 12:17 says, "And the dragon was angry with the woman, and went to war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus." And that's The World View in 5 minutes. on this Friday, June 24th, in the year of our Lord, 2016. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. Welcome into another edition of Generations Radio. I'm Adam McManus, in for Kevin Swanson, as we're talking with Scott Brown, president of the National Center for Family Integrated Churches and pastor of Hope Baptist Church in Wake Forest, North Carolina, about their compelling theme this year at the conference, Thursday, October 27th through Saturday, October 29th, the fear of God. And Scott, you have done something so unique, so revolutionary to me, where you are planting seeds beginning June 1st with 1 minute long weekday devotionals from the very speakers who will be at the conference. I have found them incredibly powerful, and I would heartily recommend them to our listeners at ncfic.org. That's ncfic.org. Tell me specifically about what prompted you to delve into this theme, the fear of God.
Well, we felt that so many of the problems that we're facing in our nation, in our churches, in our families, they result from a lack of fear of God. And so we designed this conference called The Fear of God. And amazingly, while we thought it might not be that interesting to very many people, the signups are stronger for this conference than any conference we've done in a decade. I'm really surprised about it, but there seems to be a lot of interest in what I thought was going to be sort of not interesting topic to people.
I love how these speakers flesh out the very notion, the very theme of the fear of God in your daily devotionals, which people can easily find at ncfic.org. The first one, from June 1st, from Paul Washer, entitled A Wrong View of the Fear of God. And I love what he says, that people have a wrong idea about this fear. God, after all, holds our lives in the palm of his hand. We fear him because of justice, holiness, power, and strength. But we also fear him because he is love, beauty, and joy. To give reverence to him is basically what we're talking about, to the very Creator to whom reverence is due.
Amen. Yeah, you know, it's the kind of fear that makes you want to run toward God, not away from him. When you read what the Bible says about the fear of God, it really speaks of how his grace, his mercy, his beauty, his majesty, his power, his judgment, everything makes you want not to run away from him, but to run toward him. And that's the whole idea of the fear of God. And in that video, Paul Washer speaks about that. You know, what kind of God are we talking about? Is he the kind of God that you would flinch and run from? No. He's a God of mercy and truth and love, and you want him, you need him.
He gives a great illustration of a young child who comes into his father's study the first day, showing his father what he has drawn, and the father compliments him and gives him a hug and thanks him for the drawing. The second day, when his son gives him a second drawing, the father slaps him upside the head. From that point forward, because of the father's inconsistency, because of his immorality, the son has reason in a fleshly sort of way to fear his father. But that's not the fear we're talking about when it comes to God, because God is consistent. His character never changes. He is always faithful and loving and true and holy and just, and he will not treat us like a sinful earthly father might.
There's even more to it than that. In Psalm 31, verse 19 speaks about it. It speaks about what happens to those who fear God. David says in Psalm 31, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the sons of men. So you have this scene, there's a person, he's in the presence of men. He's out among people. There's this reality about his life. Because he fears God, God has actually laid up goodness for him. God has actually prepared goodness for those who trust in him. So it's a kind of fear that motivates you to turn toward him. It's not the kind of slap you around fear that you might have with a corrupt father.
Craig Houston talks about in one of the daily devotionals at the website ncfic.org, the essence of the fear of God, and quotes from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, which says in part, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." Craig notes that God has the capability of destroying both soul and body. He holds our life and our breath in his hand. The worst that man can do is kill the body, but the worst that God can do is send men to hell. That's a sobering thought, isn't it, Scott?
That's a remarkable insight that Craig brought out. There's really only one you should fear in this world, and that is the one who could destroy you. And he is also the one who can pour out blessing for all eternity, and he's the only one that can do that.
I love what Malamulo Chindongo, an African pastor, in one of your daily devotionals discussed, very practically speaking, about the outworking of the lack of fear. As he's seen in his homeland, his home continent of Africa, where tyrannical leaders who fear no God are, in essence, overstepping their power, their authority, they're abusing people, there's murder at the slightest whim. But he notes the fear of God brings order in society, our homes, our hearts. A favorite African quote of his is this: "A man who does not fear God is a beast." That's a pretty good summation, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a man who's just cut loose from all law. You know, I'm reminded of Psalm 55:19. David says that those who do not fear God, God will afflict them. Malamulo Chindongo, a pastor in Malawi, Africa, has seen that. He's seen the affliction that has come upon African nations and his own nation as a result of leaders that don't fear God. The prosperity of a nation is directly tied to whether its leaders fear God or not. And I think this is one of the most pivotal things that we've got to understand today in all the social chaos, in this morass of insanity regarding morality, sexuality, gender, all this stuff that is just insane in so many ways. It is a result of a whole society that doesn't fear God. And we have to recognize that when you have leaders that don't fear God, God will afflict you. We're getting ready to have an election. What does the fear of God have to do with that? Well, the Bible is very clear about civil leaders, and he really requires his fear of them. And we should be the kind of people who will elect people who fear God. And that's going to be a pretty difficult proposition.
I hope you'll consider attending the Fear of God Conference put on by the National Center for Family Integrated Churches. It'll take place in Asheville, North Carolina, in the Ridgecrest Conference Center, a beautiful facility. I've been to a number of his events, Thursday, October 27th through Saturday, October 29th. Now, the individual ticket price is $129, and for the whole family, $399. It is, I think, a great value in light of the quality of speakers that Scott Brown has put together, most of whom are featured in his Fear of God daily devotionals, which you really need to make a point of not just watching individually, but watching as a family at ncfic.org. That's ncfic.org. That's, of course, also where you can register for the Fear of God Conference under Events and just click on the Fear of God tab. Kevin Swanson, the very host of this generation's radio broadcast for whom I'm guest hosting, talked about in one of the video devotionals how all subjects, including math, science, history, literature, are all tied, interestingly and amazingly, if you can wrap your head around it, to the fear of God. He says all knowledge must be formed in the fear of God, that all these subjects only have meaning in God. He is the one who establishes the order of the universe. Without the fear of God, science goes sideways when we don't teach our children that God created the cell and the galaxies. He said, our science is becoming less rational and more dangerous because we have not taught that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Scott Brown, too many Christians today, sadly, have no sense that there's any connection between A, God and science, much less the fear of God and science. But Kevin Swanson makes a compelling point, doesn't he?
Sure. Yeah, he's summarizing actually the entire book of Proverbs. Adam, one of the things that I love about our conferences is this, is that we really are trying to mentor families together. on these different subjects. And what will happen at this conference is that whole families will come, they'll hear these messages, and they'll hear this message like the one Kevin, you were just referring to, that Kevin was speaking of, where the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all knowledge. If you can imagine, at this conference, there'll be whole families sitting together. This conference is a very unique one. We don't split the children away from the parents. They all are there together. We really want to mentor families in the fear of God, and that has to do with all of their education, all of their math, all of their science, all of their history, everything. It's a wonderful opportunity to sit there with your family, to hear instruction, have time to talk about it, and really to be affected by the preaching together. We've been doing conferences like this for many, many years where the whole family is gathered together. It's a very unique experience, and it's a beautiful experience. What we found is that whole families end up just delighting in the hearing of the preaching and the fellowship that happens. If you look at our sign-up list, it's whole families. There are lots of single people that come, but it's mostly families that come, and we really are praying for a reformation of family life. And what's important about the fear of God is that it really is the beginning of blessing in any family or any church or any nation.
Speaking of families and the blessing of families, I want to touch on two more video devotionals from your Fear of God series at ncfic.org. That's ncfic.org. Before we take a break, one from Jason Dome entitled Chastising Children and the Fear of God, and the other one from Kevin Swanson referring to the Control Freak Father. First, with Jason, he said there is a connection between chastising children and then learning to fear the Lord. They can see you unlike God. So some of the earliest things that children learn about God are through godly parents. So in the chastisements in Jason's home, he says, I always wanted them to be fearful experiences. He says, I do want to be feared by my children as a man who has been delegated by God to see that our home looks as much like the kingdom of God as possible, where evil is constrained and the beauty of the kingdom is nurtured and flourishes as much as it can with the home of sinful people. I thought on the flip side of it, Jason really drove this point home when he said, parents who refuse to chastise their children are actually handicapping their children, retarding the growth of the fear of God, which will actually help them and be a blessing to them. Scott, no doubt there are some listening to the broadcast today at generations.org who hear the sentence, I do want to be feared by my children as a man who's been delegated by God, and they wince and they wonder, is that right? Is that even biblical? What do you say?
It is biblical, but you also have to know Jason Dome. I've known Jason Dome for 2.5 decades. I actually performed his wedding, almost 25 years ago when he was a young man, and we've been fellow elders together and been in church together for many, many years. Here's the deal on Jason. Jason is one of the happiest fathers you'll ever know. He's very tender-hearted and gracious and upbeat kind of a father. On the one hand, does want his children to understand the wrath of God, and he would say particularly through the use of the rod, and at the same time that his children would never have a picture of a God who is like an ogre. It's a God that brings discipline because he loves his children, kind of like Hebrews 11. Those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. How do you know that if you're a son? You only know if you're a son if you're being disciplined by the Lord. And that's what Jason is trying to communicate, that the discipline must be there. At the same time, it's a discipline that's administered in love.
Kevin Swanson speaks to the possible sinful iteration of putting an unhealthy fear in our children in a video devotional for your Fear of God conference that people can watch themselves at ncfic.org, entitled The Control Freak Father. He says, I think any time a father erupts in anger, becoming that control freak dad, making sure that he controls everything according to his sovereign will, meaning the father's sovereign will, is really raising a fist in the face of God. Any father who repents of that anger, allows God to be God, bows his knee to God, serves God, controls himself by submitting himself to the control of Almighty God, that's an important message that's sent home to the children.
And, Kevin is really speaking about what it means to love. Paul spoke of it in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. love is kind. And so the love of God is expressed through a particular means that God defines. That's why Kevin is so right to point out that this is not a fitful, wrathful, arrogant kind of discipline that a father might bring to instill fear in his children. It's moderated by all the laws of love that you find in the Bible. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is the kind of context that the fear of God is delivered in the discipline of children.
And just to flesh it out a little bit more, whether the father or mother is using corporal punishment, a physical spanking, a timeout, perhaps a deprivation of something special like a dessert, there is an important component to communicate to the child the context of why they're being disciplined, how they are responsible before God to raise them to be children who honor God, and how they need first to ask God for forgiveness for their offense, much less the sibling they might have hit. Would you echo that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's so critical.
Let's take a break. My guest is Scott Brown. He is the president of the National Center for Family Integrated Churches based in North Carolina. You can certainly learn more at ncfic.org, including the network of churches that they are affiliated with. You can type in your own zip code and find one in your location. The upcoming conference theme, as we've been discussing, is the fear of God. And it's Thursday, October 27th through Saturday, October 29th in Asheville, North Carolina at the Ridgecrest Conference Center. Beautiful facility nestled in the mountains there. Just absolutely gorgeous. Part of the fall season where you can still see some of the color on the trees. Individual tickets are $129 for the whole family, $399. All you need to do is go to the website ncfic.org, ncfic.org. Click on events, and the drop-down menu, you'll see Fear of God Conference. Click on there, and you can learn all about the speakers. Plus, I urge you to start watching individually and with your family the Fear of God video devotionals, 90 of them, are in the bank between June 1st and this conference coming out every weekday. So you can certainly click on that right from their homepage. I'm Adam McManus, in for Kevin Swanson. Learn more about me at my website, adammcmanus.net. No doubt you're familiar with my name and my voice from the Christian newscast, The World View in 5 Minutes, that I've been hosting since a year ago last February. It's been a great honor to be affiliated with the Generations Ministry and working alongside with Kevin Swanson in the Kingdom of God. We'll be right back.
Does it seem like your family is getting pulled 100 directions? Is a crazy schedule and a hostile but enticing culture making it hard to stay connected to your kids? Join families from across the country for the NOAA Conference in Cincinnati on August 19th and 20th. Based on lessons from the life of Noah, the NOAA Conference will prepare you to engage your kids, disciple them in an ungodly generation, and launch them into life as ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Speakers include Ken Ham, the Benham Brothers and their father Flip, Kevin Swanson, and others. And most exciting of all, you'll receive free admission to Ken Ham's new Ark Encounter for an unforgettable family vacation. Go to noahconference.org to register and get back to the basics of what it means to disciple your children in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the only lifeboat that will stand the storm. That's noahconference.org.
Welcome back to the second half of this generation's radio broadcast. I'm Adam McManus, and for Kevin Swanson, as we continue our conversation with Scott Brown, you can certainly email me about your reaction to this particular broadcast at adam@theworldview.com. I'd love to hear from you. adam@theworldview.com. Scott Brown is the president of the National Center for Family Integrated Churches, the pastor of Hope Baptist Church in Wake Forest, North Carolina, And he's putting together with some of the best Reformed theologians America has, and Africa has, for that matter, a wonderful conference on the fear of God, Thursday, October 27th through Saturday, October 29th, in Asheville, North Carolina, at the Ridgecrest Conference Center, tucked away in the beautiful mountains there with the glorious fall leaf colors. It is a delight to be there. I've gone with my family, and we have just felt refreshed and revitalized like nobody's business. The tickets, $129 individual tickets, and then for the family, $399. You can go to ncfic.org, ncfic.org. Click on events on the top right section of the homepage. It'll have a drop-down menu. Click on Fear of God, and you can learn all about it. But I'll tell you, leading up to the conference, between now and October 27th, you can participate with your family in watching weekday Fear of God video devotionals from the very speakers you'll be hearing from this coming fall. I have had a chance to listen to every one of them that they put out June 1st through June 21st, and they have all been sobering, encouraging. I can't wait to share them with my bride, Amy, and we can watch them together. The next one I wanted to address, Scott, is the one by Paul Thompson entitled Civil Leaders in the Bible. And he talks about a ruler like Jeroboam who wants to know what the people want. He put out, I guess, somehow in their day, a survey of sorts, ruling the people according to what they want, not necessarily what was best for them. So while Jeroboam did indeed gain in popularity, Paul notes that he is unaware that he is not establishing a government that would be beneficial for them. He gives them comfort, things they demand from him. He thinks he's making peace, but he's actually putting them in bondage to sin, elevating their comfort as their primary god of life, and it's a disastrous position. Boy, does that remind you of a lot of what Barack Obama's been doing for 7.5 years?
Oh, my. It goes back to a real problem that we have in our whole thinking as a nation, is that we don't regard the fear of God when we elect our leaders. The Bible makes it really clear that one of the qualifications for a civil leader is that they fear God. Exodus 18:21, the Lord commands, you shall select from all the people able men such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, rulers of tens. We have rejected that commandment in Exodus 18:21, and we've been willing to put men in office who do not fear God. Deuteronomy 17:19 says the same thing, that a civil leader is required by God to read the Word of God all the days of his life, as Deuteronomy 17:19 says, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to be careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes. So the difficulties that we're having really can be traced right back to ourselves, in the sense that we've not been appointing men who fear God.
Paul Washer addresses fear and a low view of God. This was one of my favorite video devotionals that you have posted at ncfic.org, ncfic.org. He says, if I have a very low view of God, a very common evangelical view of God, that God is somewhere just above Santa Claus, then ideas of holiness and fear and trembling and respect are foreign to me. God is really more like a grandfather figure who does not take things like justice or sin that seriously. Paul says, I need to get into the scriptures. One pastor took his church through the Bible in a year, and it was amazing. People came up to him and said, when I got through the 5 books of the law, I was trembling. I never knew God was like that. And Paul asked, well, what happened? They came to know the fear of God by considering God's inspired revelation. It all comes back to knowing him, doesn't it, Scott?
Yeah, and that's why David says, come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. It's something that arises out of knowing God as he really is, which comes from knowing the Word of God. So Paul is putting his finger in the bread and the wound of why there's so little fear of God, because there's so little knowledge of God and who he is.
Clarence Simmons addresses two of his favorite books from Arthur Pink, The Attributes of God and The Sovereignty of God. He says, the crowning problem of our day is that we do not know who God is. And he encourages people to consider Arthur Pink's book, The Attributes of God, which traces 19 attributes or qualities, perfections of God. He said it's a great place to start. If we don't know who God is, the fear of God will not be there. If God is simply our buddy, a friend, there will be no fear of God. We cannot treat God like us, says Clarence Simmons in his video devotional. He says, The Sovereignty of God, by Arthur Pink, talks about how God rules over everything. He's in control. He's ruling the world that he made. He's not like our president where we vote him in, vote him out. But once we get a view of God that's accurate, we can have a sense of the fear of God.
You know, everything flows from the knowledge of God. That's why Daniel says, you know, those who know God will be strong and they'll do exploits. It gives energy, it gives vision, it gives hope when you know God. As I've been studying the fear of God this year, there are many, many places in Scripture that make it extremely clear that the reason that we lack fear of God is that we don't immerse ourselves in the Word of God. In fact, Proverbs 2, the entire proverb is dedicated to this whole proposition. I'm memorizing Proverbs 2 with my grandchildren. I'm very well aware of this. What Solomon says in Proverbs 2, he says, if you seek wisdom as silver, as search for her as gold, if you cry out for her, then he says, you'll know the fear of God. When you know the fear of God, God will protect you. He'll protect you from evil men. He'll protect you from perverse people. He'll protect you from the seductress. He'll protect you from all kinds of things. It all goes back to seeking him as silver, seeking the word of God as silver.
Jason Dome, one of your former fellow elders at Hope Baptist Church in Wake Forest, North Carolina, who's now planted a church nearby, talks about in one of the Fear of God video devotionals at ncfic.org, about church discipline. He says in the last 4 years, we've had 7 instances of church discipline at various levels, and each one of them, at the end of it, I'd be in conversations with brothers who said this made them fear God more. One of the things we learn when God exposes sin in the church is he has 1,000 ways to expose us. That's one of the things that increases the fear of the Lord. He knows all things. And the things we thought we could keep secret are only kept secret until God reveals them. Because he's omnipotent, he can do it at any time and through a multitude of ways. When people see this happen, sin exposed in the church, says Jason, we all know that our secret sins are not safe. We thought they were safe, but when sin is exposed and dealt with in the church, the fear of God rises. It helps us all. It helps us, and I love this line, it helps us to walk worthy of God. What a great phrase there toward the end. Wouldn't we all want that put on our tombstone or said in a eulogy about us upon our deaths, that this person walked worthy of God?
Jason is talking about a really critical reality of church discipline. In 1 Timothy 5:19, the Apostle Paul says that if an elder is found to be in sin, then after it's verified by witnesses, then rebuke him in the presence of all so that all might fear. In other words, one of the reasons it's right and wise to hold elders accountable in local churches for their sin is so that the fear of God will arise in the congregation. It's interesting that Paul says to Timothy, rebuke in the presence of all. Why? It's not just all about that elder who sinned. The greater part of it is that the congregation would fear, because when an elder is rebuked for sin, everybody in the church is asking, what about me? How have I sinned that way? Maybe I better take this secret sin and get rid of it. The fear of God is built as a result of churches that engage in biblical church discipline.
But is it only applicable to elders?
In 1 Timothy 5:19 and 20, it's explicitly applicable to elders. But no, it's not just applicable to elders, because anytime there's church discipline, the church is examining herself. And I've seen that many, many times where you have various undercover sins that were abandoned because another person was disciplined.
There are 3 final video devotionals on the fear of God that I want to address before we conclude our time. My guest is Scott Brown. He's the president of the National Center for Family Integrated Churches, the pastor at Hope Baptist Church in Wake Forest, North Carolina. I pray that you would consider registering today before your head hits the pillow, to attend with your family the important Fear of God conference coming up in Asheville, North Carolina, Thursday, October 27th through Saturday, October 29th at the Ridgecrest Conference Center. Tickets individually are $129. For the family, $399. You can learn more at ncfic.org, ncfic.org. Click on the events tab at the top right, and you'll see a drop-down menu down to the Fear of God conference. Plus, you'll see on the homepage the Fear of God video devotionals that I hope you've had a taste of them. Your appetite has been whet as we've been discussing them, and Scott Brown has been reacting to them, that you'll look back through the very ones we've touched on, and that you'll start watching them every weekday as they come out now through the Fear of God conference in late October. Paul Thompson talks about this question of how does the fear of God liberate me? He says, I am an insignificant being. Doesn't matter what I think, how clever I am, if I keep in proper perspective who God is, it's the part that liberates me from trying to think that I have to be independently creative in how I work or raise my children. It's very liberating to know that I need God and that God wants me to want him. The mortification of sin, to destroy that sin in my life, puts me in a position where I can say with the psalmist, I want to delight in his law. I want to love obeying the Lord. Paul Thompson says, I cannot do that, though, unless I hate sin. This makes me a happier person, a more pleasant person to be around. I'm submitting myself to my Lord and my Creator. This is the perhaps diametrically opposed thinking that the world, frankly, does not or cannot understand, that by enslaving ourselves, as it were, to the Lord, we're actually liberating ourselves.
This is one reason we really want to provide these resources to families, that fathers would be able to use a simple tool, a one-minute video, to help them understand the beauty of the Lord, the beneficial nature of the fear of God, that they would bring into their homes a right view of God so that they would experience those things, those blessings that come from letting God be your king rather than you yourself being your king, because there's only bondage in serving yourself. And there's only blessing in serving the Lord. But a person has to have a right view of God. That was really the motivation we had for doing these videos, is we wanted to put a really simple tool in the hands of fathers to mentor their family on the fear of God. And we're making it available to anybody who wants them. But our original objective was just to be a blessing to those who had signed up, the hundreds of people that have signed up for the conference, to just sort of help them think it through and perhaps increase the happiness in the Lord in their families.
Paul Washer, in the next Fear of God daily video devotional, answers this question, a very provocative question, about why God allows tragedy to occur in our lives. And he takes perhaps one of the most possibly painful things that can happen to a family. Why did God take my child? Or why did God fill in the blank, allow me to get cancer, or what have you? Paul Washer says, if I know God's character, I do not have to answer those questions. If a dear and trusted friend walked into the room and asked me to throw him the keys to my car, I would not ask him what he's going to do with my car, because I know his character, so I can trust him. People are constantly looking to answer these questions, says Paul Washer, when what they should do is look to God and these questions fade. They're just not important anymore. It's the knowledge of God, to press on to know him. The greatest endeavor of the Christian life, well, I'll tell you, that line got my attention. The greatest endeavor of the Christian life is not just to study Scripture, but study Scripture to know him. Scott, that's a sermon in and of itself, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. And what a blessing it is. David says in the Psalms, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. This is the blessing of drawing near to God. He encamps around those who fear him. This is why we should run to him. This is why we should seek him with all of our hearts, because he positions his son around those who fear him. If you read what the Bible says about the fear of God, just get out your concordance, you know, go do a word search on fear in the New and the Old Testament. You'll find that the fear of God is the beginning of happiness, and God pours out his mercies and his kindnesses to those who fear him. We're just praying for a rise of that as a result of this conference. We're really praying for an awakening of a right vision of God and a proper fear of God in our day.
the last video devotional that has been posted at the website ncfic.org, which you can look at on your own. They're each about a minute apiece. ncfic.org is from Joel Beakey about how we are empowered as parents to help our children see what the fear of God looks like. He cites the Old Testament great saints like Moses, who experienced the presence of God, couldn't even look at God's face, much less at his back parts. Isaiah in Isaiah 6, filled with the majesty of God. Joseph, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God, when, of course, he was approached to participate in the sin of adultery from Potiphar's wife? In the New Testament, Joel Beakey notes, you can find the same thing, too. When Jesus comes, Peter gives up everything, yet he wants to serve him. Peter says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." There's a tremendous tension between the awe that Peter has for God and the desire he has for the intimacy of God. Scott Brown, don't you think we've lost sight of our own sinfulness and therefore the need to even be fearful of God in light of his holy character?
Yeah, I think Kevin Swanson said it really well. We like to think of God as a big, you know, marshmallow grandpa in the sky. He's far, far more than that. It's right for us to bow down before him and to worship him, to follow him, and to fear him in the way that he has designed us to fear him.
The conference is coming up Thursday, October 27th through Saturday, October 29th in Asheville, North Carolina, put on by the National Center for Family Integrated Churches on the Fear of God, held in the Ridgecrest Conference Center. Individual tickets are $129, and the whole family can come for $399. Go to the website ncfic.org. That's ncfic.org. Click on events in the top right section of the homepage. You'll see a drop-down menu, and click on Fear of God to learn more about the speakers and the schedule and all the specifics of the Ridgecrest Conference Center there in the beautiful mountains of Asheville. If you have never been to one NCFIC conference, this is really the conference you need to go to. And let me tell you, if you think you've done the NCFIC fall conference, this is so different. You need to make sure that you come back again. You will be refreshed and renewed and revitalized spiritually. What better way to keep your family on track with the Lord than to, as a family, experience the importance of studying the scriptures and looking at all of the ramifications of what it means to fear God, and how once you as parents get this right, it can affect literally generations to come, not to mention the entire future of America. I hope you'll make it an effort to come. Go to the website as well for those wonderful weekday video devotionals on the fear of God. Just a minute apiece. Doesn't take a lot of time, but boy, will it be a great seed for perhaps your family worship or a longer devotional or a Bible study as you gather around the computer screen and watch them at ncfic.org. Scott Brown, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for your good work in the kingdom of God and reminding us to get to know this Savior, Jesus Christ, in the most personal of ways.
Hey, thank you so much, Adam. And I pray that God would use this time to help us raise up an even greater army of those who fear God and fulfill what David said in Psalm 119. I am a companion of all those who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. I pray that God would raise up a mighty wave of awakening on this whole matter.
I'm Adam McManus, in for Kevin Swanson. You can learn more about me at my website, adammcmanus.net, spelled MCMANUS.net. Would love to get an email with your reaction to my conversation with Scott Brown at adam@theworldview.com. adam@theworldview.com. This has been Generations Radio, where we're raising up a godly standard for this generation and generations to come.